Thank you, Selma. That was fun playing those bells. It's great. I had a hard time waiting, but it was there. How many of you are just really enjoying this season so far? Right on. We have called you, as Mandy stood up and called you, as chair of the elders, to pray for today as we take a poll at the end of today. But I'm going to ask you to pray for Pastor Jeremy and Catherine as Catherine goes for surgery tomorrow. And we need to be in prayer for them and specifically for Catherine and the doctors and courage for Jeremy and the family. And I'm just going to pray right now for Catherine and for this family. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you're a God who looks after all the details of our life. And Lord, as we gather today as your body, as we call the family of God, Lord, we pray for Catherine this morning. We pray, God, that you would give her the peace that she requires through this time. And we pray, Father, that you would provide healing, however that appears, God, however that occurs. We pray that that would happen. We pray, Lord, that you would give to the doctors wisdom as they treat her, as they do this surgery, guide their hands. And God, we pray and praise you already for being a God who's looked after all the details of this. Father, we pray for Pastor Jeremy and for their family, and we pray, God, that you would give them the courage and the strength that they require as they walk through this journey in their life. To you, God, be the glory and the honor forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. Great. Please take that back to Catherine. It always amazes me how at this time of year there will be much celebration, but there will also be much controversy. I mean, you think about it for a moment. There are those of us who truly enjoy the meaning of the Christmas season. Christ was born, and we celebrate, and yet there will be opposition to that celebration. As well, mixed into this whole season is stores cashing in on gift buying and credit card companies overjoyed, and then there's the movie industry. Yet there's wonderful vignettes in films. Films with creative segments within them that help us understand our Christian faith even a little bit deeper. And so through the Advent season, we're going to look at blockbuster Christmas specials. And we're going to begin with the Santa Claus today. I was telling somebody this past week, I had some meetings in Calgary, and I was telling some pastors there, I was telling them what I was planning to do, and they said, "You are absolutely crazy." When you hear the word, that's me though, I am crazy. When you hear the word Santa Claus, what comes to your mind when you hear Santa Claus? Somebody said it over here. Kate, of course, says ho, ho, ho. Anyone else? What do you, when you hear the word Santa Claus, what comes to your mind? Boom. Pardon? Okay. Anyone else? A giver? Okay. Oh. Who said that? You said fat. Fat. How many think the word jolly? Okay. All right, jolly. 6-year-old Maddie and her 10-year-old sister Kaylee have been fighting a lot throughout the year. Maddie's parents, trying to take advantage of her newfound interest in Santa Claus, reminded her that Santa doesn't like it when children fight. "This had little impact on Maddie. I'll just have to tell Santa about your misbehavior," said her mother. She picked up the phone. She called Maddie's aunt. Mother said on the phone, she said, "Hello, Mrs. Claus." Maddie's eyes grew big, wide. "Can you put Santa on the phone, please?" So Maddie's mouth just dropped open as Maddie's uncle came into the phone. Maddie's mother described how the 6-year-old was acting, what was happening between her and her 10-year-old sister. When Mom said that Santa wanted to talk to Maddie, she reluctantly took the phone, and Maddie's uncle, in a deepened voice, explained that How can I bring you presents on Christmas morning? I can't do that to children who fight with their sisters. From now on, I will be watching and examining you and what's going on in the situation between you and your sister. So Maddie, now even more wide-eyed and solemn, nodded to each of Santa's remarks and silently hung up the phone when he was done. After a long moment, Mum, containing herself, said, "What did Santa say to you, dear?" In almost a whispered tone, Maddie sadly, but very matter-of-factly, said, "Santa said my sister won't be getting any toys this year." I don't want you to get all excited about the term Santa Claus. I don't. Because often there's a negative bent that goes along with that. So don't go down that road, or you'll lose where God wants us to go this morning. As I viewed this movie, The Santa Claus, because there's Santa Claus 1, 2, 3, 4, I don't know how many there are, but so I picked The Santa Claus, and I watched it. The whole concept of giving truly did jump out at me. There's nothing wrong with somebody having a giving heart, now is there? Is there? In fact, the Christian is called to be a giver. The Santa Claus is about an unbelieving Scott Calvin, notice the initials, S-C, who transforms into the red-suited gent, and his six-year-old son Charlie's overjoyed. But his mom and his stepfather are not. They have seriously attempted to dissuade Charlie in believing in someone whom he cannot see, giving just because he gives. They seriously have trouble with that concept. But we as God's children, we should not have trouble with the concept of giving. Because our God is a giving God, isn't he? In fact, God created within us this desire to give ourselves out of his glory. So there's another blockbuster Christmas special that we need to look at this morning. And it's found in Luke chapter 1. And I'm going to start reading Luke chapter 1, verse 28. Luke chapter 1, verse 28. Actually, I'm going to start at verse 26, sorry. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I'm the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. May God add his blessing to his word. A blockbuster Christmas requires believing. It requires believing. Anyone here ever been afraid? 4 of you, 10, we're increasing in number. Most of you who didn't put your hands up, now you're afraid because I'm going to call on you. No. I love this passage because there have been those moments where I have been terrified. There have been times where I didn't think that there was any way that I could do it. Even when God calls me to it, I avoid it because I'm afraid. Well, the first thing that the angel says to Mary before he says anything else is, the angel came to Mary and said, "Don't be afraid. Peace be with you. The Lord is with you and has greatly blessed you." See, it was the Lord. It was the Lord. The Lord is with you. Peace is with you. God's presence, God's peace go together. When you've got one, you've got the other. If you don't have peace in your life, it's because you don't recognize God's presence in your life. See, when you recognize that God is with you, He is present, then you'll have peace of God. You'll have the peace of you don't get one without the other. When God is near you, you don't need to fear. The presence of God and the peace of God just go together. Whenever God asks you to do something risky, you can always be assured that He's going to be there with you. You're not going to have to do it by yourself. God comes with a plan, and He says to Mary, this is what we're going to do. But don't worry, because I'm going to be with you. Now that knowing of God's presence, that belief is directly related to our usefulness to God. The greater our belief, the greater our willingness to be used. Was Mary afraid? Absolutely. Was she confused? You bet she was. But she made a choice. Mary made a critical decision to believe. And this is probably the most critical decision that we can make. To believe God. Not just believe in Him, but believe God. God is with you when you walk into your bank to check your financial situation. God is with you when you walk into that hospital room to see that loved one. God is with you when you hurt. God is with you when you have to face your teacher about an assignment that's overdue. It's what is so critical is our belief that God is with me. Mary believed God was with her. The Santa Claus said this aspect of belief so well, and I want you to watch this clip. Can you run it?
Where is he?
Well, he could be in his room, jumping up and down on his bed, wearing a red hat and galoshes.
I don't care what Neil's doing. Where's Charlie?
Oh, I see. Well, if you can't be Father of the Year, why not be Father Christmas, huh?
Charlie, it's just not logical. How can one man, in one night, visit all the children of the world?
Not everyone celebrates Christmas. And I think there's some sort of time continuum that breaks down once someone's in the sleigh.
What about fireplaces? A lot of people don't have them. How does Santa visit those people?
He turns into Jell-O and the fireplace kind of appears and goes through it like this.
What about the reindeer? Have you ever seen a reindeer fly?
Yes.
Well, I haven't.
Have you ever seen $1 million?
No.
Just because you haven't seen it doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Great words. You hear the words? Little six-year-old Charlie spoke to his stepfather saying, have you ever seen $1 million? No, just because you haven't seen it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. How many of you here have ever held $1 million in your hands? No, wait a minute, don't put your hands up because you'll be mauled after the service. How many of you believe that $1 million does exist? Because you haven't seen it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. But words of wisdom. I mean, you think of God for a moment. Just because you cannot see Him doesn't mean that He is not with you. Because He exists. You see, we must believe, and like Mary, it means to believe God is with me. Mary was confused. She was disturbed. She tried to think what the angel could mean. And the Amplified Bible puts it so well in this. But when she saw him, she was greatly troubled and disturbed and confused at what he said and kept revolving in her mind what such a greeting might mean. Have you ever analyzed something to the point where it just doesn't make sense anymore? You know, you're into a situation and you think you have the outcome, but God is calling you to a better solution, like maybe trust him with it, and you choose to just kind of try and deal with it on your own way and ignore that call from God. But you know, God has called you to do something, and you go, well, what part do I trust you with, God? I don't understand it. You try to analyze it to death until you're paralyzed, can't do it anymore. Believe. God is with you. You know, I love to hear people share their stories about Christmas celebrations, times in where memories are made. And I recall one of the most special times in my family. We each had to give one another something we truly cherished. You know, something that we had ourselves. Our parents said, you know, you got to give this year something that you find very precious that you need to give away to one. So my one brother, he gave away his baseball card collection. Gave the whole thing to my older brother. My older brother gave him his dead insect collection. I mean, it was a good trade. You know, what a Christmas of sacrifice. It was a bookmark Christmas for me. It really was. But why do kids enjoy their conceived idea of Santa Claus? It's because he's associated with goodness, joy, assurance, security, giving, and believing, all the things that we adults are to live in our love for God so that our children recognize God better. You consider Mary for a moment, what Mary believed that first Christmas. She believed that a child would be born of her without an earthly father. Now, I'm sure that went over really well with her parents. And I'm sure the church celebrated the event. I'm sure that there were, from God? Really? That's impossible. Well, don't you believe God? No. Well, we believe him, but we don't believe that can happen. You see, isn't that just like God always showing up in the impossible? You think for a moment of Mary's age. I mean, scholars have said that she's around 14, 15. We would still consider her, I mean, she was a youth, not long from being a child. The belief ability of a child. No one says it better than Jesus. He says, I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Like, just like Charlie. Children embrace believing. Where have all the skeptics come from? Whatever does not intelligently fit, we regard as impossible. It's time to renew our belief in a God who can. A blockbuster Christmas requires believing, but it also requires giving. Giving. It's just natural for a committed Christian to have a desire to give of themselves to God. It's the very nature of God to give. So you see, when you think of a concept of Santa Claus and the act of giving, maybe the church really, in a sense, feels threatened. You see, when the nature is allowed to be operative in our lives to give, we will want to just give of ourselves. Everything we have. But what is so wonderful is that God does not necessarily use us for service in an area that we think we should be used. But rather, we give our life over to God to be used for his glory, and he takes us in directions that he would have us to go, and the journey's uncertain, but the adventure is wonderful. And the angel Gabriel made the announcement to Mary that she would be the mother of the Messiah. She replied, but who will understand? What will people think? I really don't have time. I have so many other things to do. I'll just have to text my friends and see what we're up to for the next 9 months, and then I'll get back to you, all right? But if you need to get it done, God, go ahead, use somebody else. They're better qualified, more gifted people than I am. That's what Mary did. No, she didn't. Mary said, I'm the Lord's servant. May it happen to me as you've said. You see the attitude of Mary? That's essential in being used by God. The attitude of this youthful Mary made it possible for her to be the most beloved mother of all ages. She allowed no care, no interest, or peer group get in the way of her love for the Most High God, who had great ideas for her. Competitive interest has always robbed people of being significantly used by God. Mary didn't want to be. She didn't want to be used by God this way. But she said, God, if you want to use me, go ahead. And I think the chief reason for a frustration and defeat in the lives of many Christians is simply that they have allowed Christ to live within them, but not to reign in their life. The church has gotten so fixated in attempting to defeat the world's Christmas that we've forgotten to place Christ in the world's Christmas. I like, there's a hymn writer who put it so well. He said, church is not a building. The church is not a steeple. The church is not a resting place. The church is a people. That's what we're called to. That's what we're commissioned as, the body of Christ. We need to re-engage Christmas. We need to be the Saint Nicks to the hurting world. We need to show them what ministry means. Right now, more than ever, the jolliness, the happiness, the giving, not the getting attitude, is desperately needed in an uncertain world. And you might not think that you can do this. You may even have hang-ups with the thought of sharing yourself with other people, sharing gifts, sharing God, sharing His Son, His Spirit. To that I call you and say, overcome. Overcome and start being a people who will not just revolutionize Christmas, but be a people who believe that God goes with me. I have no reason to fear. God wants to use me. I have every reason to give. Giving. For God so loved the world that He gave. I want you to close your Bibles, and I want you to just listen for a moment as we close our time together. I can tell you a story about being a giver. Three years ago, a little boy and his grandma came to see Santa at Mayfair Mall in Wisconsin. The child climbed on his lap and he was holding a picture of a little girl. Kenny had the picture with him. And he showed Santa that picture and he said, Santa, this is my sister. This is my sister Sarah. And she's very sick. She wanted to come and she wanted to see you, but she couldn't come. And Santa just tried to be cheerful. I mean, he asked the little guy, what do you want for Christmas? And when they finished their visit and talked about a few things, Grandma came over and told her grandson to go pick a candy cane. Go over to the elves and you pick up a candy cane. She whispered to Santa, she said, I know it's really too much to ask you, Santa, but that girl in the photo, it's my granddaughter. She has leukemia, and she isn't expected to live through the holidays. And tears began to well up in Santa's eyes, and Grandma said, is there any way, Santa, is there any way, any possible way that you could just come and see Sarah? Santa said, I don't know, I'll see what I can do. He wiped his eyes and he told a lady, he said, you leave the information of where she's at. I'll see what I can do. Santa arrived to the children's hospital. He quietly peeked into Sarah's room and the room was full of family, aunts, uncles, cousins. And he saw their grandma and Sarah's little brother that he saw that day. Before he walked in all the way, he just said a quick prayer. He said, oh God, give me strength. I need your strength. And he entered that room and he bellowed out, ho, ho, ho. Little Sarah Weekly shrieked, "Santa!" Tried to get out of her bed with all the tubes and everything hooked up. And so Santa rushed to the 9-year-old's bedside and he gave her a warm hug. Her skin was pale. Her hair was all patchy. Her eyes were a bright blue. And he choked back the tears as he heard the other family members sobbing quietly in the background. And Santa and Sarah, they talked and they talked and they talked. And she told him excitedly all the toys that she wanted for Christmas. Santa didn't know what to say. So he felt led in his spirit to ask permission from the girl's mother if he could pray. She said, "Sure." He said, "Sarah, I'm going to ask you a question." He said, "Do you believe in angels?" She said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, I'm going to ask for some angels from God to come around." And he asked the family to join hands and circle around the bed, and he prayed. He closed his eyes and he put his hand on Sarah's head and he asked God to touch little Sarah. He asked that the angels minister to her and watch over her and keep her. And then he said something amazing. He said, "God, thank you. Thank you that I can be Santa. And thank you that I can be here with this little Sarah today." And then he started singing, "Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright." And gathered around that bed, the family joined in, all holding hands, crying tears of hope, tears of joy for that moment with the Santa Claus who gave, not gifts, but hope. And Sarah beamed at all of them, and Santa took Sarah's frail, small hand in his own, and he said, "Now, Sarah, I may be Santa, but God is God, and he's going to look after you, and he's going to keep you. And you need to know that I'm only Santa only because God wants me to be." And then he said, "Sarah, you have a job to do. You need to believe that God will look after you." Then he boldly stood up and said, "And I expect to see you at my village at Mayfair Mall this time next year." And Sarah beamed with hope that Santa gave to her. You see, Santa gave his time. Santa gave his gift. And Santa gave the believing God. Someone needs you. Someone needs you to share your life with them. Christmas is usually the time when people actually need you the most. And you may be inconvenienced, you may even be afraid, maybe confused, but God will use you in dramatic ways to create a Christmas blockbuster as you believe and as you give. 1 year later, Santa Mark was back in his village at the Mayfair Mall in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, doing the job that he loves. Hearing the children who would say, "Remember me," as he always does, he would say, "Of course I do, I'm Santa Claus." Until he heard, "You came to see me in the hospital last year." And Santa's jaw dropped and his eyes filled with tears. As this little girl said, "I thought you should see what God can do." And he silently looked up to heaven and humbly whispered, "Thank you, Father. Thank you for letting me be Santa. This truly is a very Merry Christmas." Let's pray. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I hope you didn't get caught this morning in the term Santa Claus and allowed it to prevent you from being or seeing the aspect a believing God and giving God. See, you can give something incredible to someone. And that is, you can give away your life in a sense, because you can share what God has done in your life. You can come alongside somebody who just maybe needs a hug or a tug, or just somebody who needs something. You can do that. But I'll tell you, you're going to be afraid if you don't believe God. You're going to be confused, and you're going to wonder sometimes, is this really what I'm supposed to do? While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe you're saying today, God, I want that peace that was talked about. I believe you are present, God, because I want that peace. And that means that God is present in all things, in all situations. He's walking with you, helping you, carrying you when you need to be carried, walking alongside so you grow, mature. If you're willing to say today, God, I want to believe you and what you've called me to do. And that is to give, just like you gave. If you're willing to say that today, that's a huge prayer, by the way, but if you're willing to say that, would you just lift up your hand if you're willing to say that this morning? Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. God sees all those hands. God sees those hands going up. God sees them. God sees them. Maybe this morning you were kind of hung up on the whole Santa Claus thing. But maybe today you really see that the Christian life is really all about believing and all about giving. And I hope you have, because then you'll know his peace. So people of God, I call your spirit to attention in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. I want you to listen to God's word for your spirit. He says in Isaiah, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal. People of God, I bless you with having perfect peace about your Father's communication with you. He'll speak at times through his word very clearly, very personally to you. At times he'll be silent, and even his word will seem closed and dry. But I bless you with perfect confidence and perfect peace during the silences of God, as you stand on the things he said to you in the past. I bless you with no anxiety in the present, because God has spoken so richly in the past. I bless you with the surety of knowing that he will speak again at the right time, the right place, that you will hear clearly what you need to hear at the right time to make the right decisions for his glory. Pray all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.